Hi guys, it's great to be with you this morning and to see the believers in the house a little bit here and to see everybody's phone line coming in. We sure love you guys and pray for you guys daily. And I think we are so privileged to be a part of God's family and to have one another to pray for and to talk to and to minister to and be ministered by. It's really an amazing thing that God has put together, his family. And there are millions of us that belong to it that sometime in eternity we'll see everybody, I hope. I'm sure God's got a great plan. But this morning I really wanted to talk about specific scriptures because I feel like we're all dealing with issues in our lives. I've been, you know, talking to different people across the country too, and it seems like everybody has got something that the adversary is really trying to utilize against them or make them sad or give them a challenge of some kind. And so I wanted to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. We all have these challenges. We all have different challenges. Some are more personal than others. Some is just everyday, like, you know, you're driving down the highway and somebody cuts you off, and or you accidentally cut somebody off and they use one of their members of their body to let you know how bad that was. But everybody deals with something, and we have to be able to deal with these things with the peace of God. And I want us to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's start in verse 8. I believe God really put this in his word to help us in certain situations every time we come across them. It says, be sober. That, another way that could be stated is self-controlled. Be vigilant, be watchful, be alert. Because your adversary, the devil, really Satan, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes I feel like I really need to be reminded of this scripture. Because sometimes little things like, somebody yells at me in the car, somebody cuts me short in the lane, I feel like I want to start yelling back. But really, God doesn't want us to deal with issues like that. The adversary wants us to get all messed up and angry and mad, and then he actually controls us at that point. And I think God uses this analogy of a roaring lion whom he may seek and devour is because back when the Word of God was first written in those days and times in that area of the country, lions ate people. Lions didn't, I mean, we see them passive at the zoo or pictures on the TV. That's not what a lion really does. Back then, he ate people, and today they would eat people, but not so much in our culture. So I think we have to really understand what God's trying to tell us here because this is evil. And when we start feeling angry and hatred for people or things or issues, that is not from God. God shows us how to deal with those things peaceably and lovingly and strongly within who we are in Christ. So when he tells us the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he means, I mean, lions kill people to eat them. You talk about being destroyed. I think it's a great analogy. It's a great mind picture if we can really understand what God is trying to show us the seriousness of what the adversary's after. He's not after just to make you unhappy and miserable. He wants to kill you, steal you, and destroy from you, and me, all of us. That's his goal. Now look at verse 9, because God's got some great things to show us. We resist him, steadfast in the faith. We resist. Resist him means you set yourself against him. You withstand and you hold firm. It's not just, oh, get away. Oh, I just need to pray more. No. We have to resist, and resist means you stand against him. You withhold him. You are firmly stopping him. Now, how do we do that? We don't do that with our five senses, do we? No, we have to realize we are in a spiritual battle, and we need to spend time with God. We need to spend time in the Word. We need to spend time talking to God, praying, studying His Word. It's not enough just to go to church. It's not enough to watch a Joyce Meyer or Andrew Womack on the TV. I mean, I love those guys. They got great messages. But that can't be what I feed myself. I have to feed myself personal time with God in His Word. Because steadfast, that term is we dutifully, firmly, and unwaveringly stand. We stand steadfast. We don't get talked out of it. And we stand steadfast in the third issue here, faith. We are to stand steadfast in the faith. What does that mean? We stand fast in what we know God has promised us from His Word. That is what faith is about. We trust God to do what God says He's going to do from the Word. So we need to know what God says He will do from His Word. And that's why it's really important that we understand what God is showing us here in His Word. We live in a spiritual battle every day, you guys. This is not a joke. And if, you know, you don't really see that, then take your blinders off, because there's a lot of hate in our country right now. There's a lot of hate across the world right now. There's a lot of disappointments. There are a lot of arguments. There's a lot of I said, you said, he said. Who cares? Mm-hmm. What we need to care about is what does God say? And how does God tell me to work? It is important to know what God says. If we are to have faith in God, and that means we trust Him, that's what faith is about. We trust God to do what God says He will do. Well, if we don't spend time with Him, if we don't spend time with the Scriptures daily, because this battle is going on daily, in case you haven't noticed. If we don't do that, then we don't know what God says He'll do. So how can you trust Him to do something if you don't know what He says He's going to do? Right? And there's examples in the Word of where He told His people in the Old Testament all the way up to our day and time right now, not in the Word, but there's examples in our lives where God says, I will take care of you, and He has, and He does. But how do we know that? How does that get into the depths of our heart? It's one thing to know, oh, yeah, I know God. Oh, yeah, I have a relationship with God. Yeah, I believe in God. But, you know, that's kind of personal. Well, it better be very, very personal. But the personal part of it comes between you and God and the Scriptures. We are in a body. There are gift ministries. There are ministries in the church that we help each other understand the Scriptures. We give to one another. We bless each other. We learn from one another. But it all has to come from that relationship with God. That's how we can fight. That's how we can stand steadfast. That's how we can have faith in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. If you don't keep your head in the Word on a daily basis and your heart locked in with God, and when I say heart, I'm not talking about this thing that beats right here. I'm talking about, and the Word's talking about, the innermost part of you where you really make the decisions in your life. It's easy to blow people off because they irritate you. That's easy. That's easy. Is that what Jesus Christ did? Did the examples that we've seen in the Word, did He just blow people off? No. Did He get irritated with people? Yes, I'm sure He did. The Pharisees and Sadducees bugged Him all the time. Did He ever just go off on them? No. He quoted Scripture to them. He got down with the Word of God. And then with God's people, He was compassionate, tender, always there for them, always helping, never giving up on His people. Look at Peter, and all the times Peter himself challenged Jesus. You know, the worst thing I think Jesus ever said to Peter was, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, that's kind of harsh, but that's what Peter needed. And that's the example. If we go to the Word, that's what we see. We see the example of Jesus Christ and other believers and how God worked with them and how they walked with God. And that's what we need in our lives to be able to resist the adversary today. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Heading. Okay, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, It is not in our own strength or knowledge, but in what God has worked in us and through Christ. That is why it's important to have an understanding of the scriptures. I cannot resist the adversary in and of myself. I can't. But the Christ in me, who lives inside of me, who wants me to be able to utilize that power of the Holy Spirit that God and Jesus Christ made available to us because of what they both did, that is how we become victorious people. That's how we have the victories. It's because we don't do it in our own strength. I can get irritated with people really quickly. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, you know, it's like, dang. But you know what? Then I get in my head where my heart really is. Because the thoughts are going to lead you where you're going to go. If it's, oh, I can't put up with this anymore. Oh, this person's driving me crazy. Oh, this is the last time I'm going to go there. I mean, what's going to happen? Nothing good. But if I can go, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Philippians 4:13. Put that in your head. Put that so it's down into the depths of your heart. Because if you go to the Gospels and you read about Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you something. I have never been challenged like that man was challenged. And yet every time, you know what he did? He did what God asked him to do. And it's a good thing, or you and I probably wouldn't be sitting here today. Now that's the man that lives inside of us. That is who we really, really are. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I titled this teaching, Not in Our Strength, But God's, because that's how we have to do these things. And it's not just negative things I'm talking about. We have great positive things in our life, and those are results of doing God's word. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's talking about you and me, okay? And that's talking about all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, even the ones that sometimes irritate us, or that sometimes can rub us the wrong way, or sometimes they miss the mark. Well, guess what? I miss the mark too at times. You miss the mark too at times. But God wants us to resist the temptation of the adversary when we find ourselves in that situation and do what God tells us to do for one another. It says in Galatians, we are to be especially good unto the household of faith. And it says, therefore, you have opportunity. Whenever it's available, we have a direction from God to be especially good to each other. Sometimes I think I'm more patient with somebody that's new in the Word. But I shouldn't be. I should be just as loving, just as kind, just as generous, just as patient with somebody that's been in the Word but is struggling against the devil right now. Because I'm going to guarantee you, when he attacks, when that roaring lion, he creeps around watching who's weak, and he decides to attack, it doesn't matter to him how long you've been in the Word or you haven't been in the Word. It doesn't matter to him how much you've done for God. He wants you stopped. And that's when we need to resist in the love of God with one another. And we need to stand together and not get tricked into, oh, well, I don't like that person, so they're not really walking the Word, so why would I go see them, or why would I do something? Hello? Because there are brothers and sisters in Christ. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom almost having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. All of us are sealed with that Spirit. And we all deserve to be treated that way by one another. And one of the issues the adversary really digs in is to divide the body from what? Within. Divide the country from within. Divide the world from within. But the body of Christ, he wants to divide it from inside out, because that's the hardest part, the hardest way for people to fight sometimes. But we're going to say no, aren't we? Because we're going to resist the adversary. He will flee. He has no choice. But if you don't resist, he'll keep coming at you and coming at you and coming at you till he gets you to do what he wants you to do. And none of us want to go there. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. You know, I think some of this is really burning on my heart because I just see things going on around us that if you don't really understand this is a spiritual battle, it's not politics. It is politics, but you know what I mean? It really isn't about politics, just about dividing and conquering. That is his main job right now because he knows his time is drawing near. When Christ comes back, it's starting. His issues are down. He is going to go down, period, permanently. So right now he's limited to what he can do, only what we allow him to do in our hearts and our heads. And that's why, you know, I'm a little intense about this is because I detest him. I detest him. And I do not want him messing with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want him messing with my country. So I have to do things God's way. I can't just get mad and angry at everybody and pick sides. That's not what we do. Not God's kids takes a stand on God's word. In Ephesians 3:20, now unto him, to God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or what? See, that's why I said your head's going to go where your thoughts are. That's why we got to really soak our hearts and lives and heads into God's word. This is a battle. Your life, personally and collectively as a body of Christ, we are in a battle. And we need to recognize that. When we see him coming, we need to stand firm and push back. It's not just a little verse here and there or every once in a while I can rise up and be compassionate. Anybody can do that. The adversary even uses the word against us if we let it. But you know what? God says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Now I want that to soak in. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. In closing, I'd like to really encourage everyone to spend some personal time with God every day. Pray with him. Talk to him. Read his word. Share his word with somebody else every day. Learn as much as you can from the examples that are in God's word and Jesus Christ being a focal one. And the apostles. Look at what Peter and Paul and those guys did after Christ ascended. See what it's like from the written word. That is why God gave us his written word. That's why we need to spend more time there. That's why we need to dwell there. It's because that's how we get to know him even more intimately and understand his heart for us and the power he has given us. Be that example to everybody else. Be that person who's Christ-like in every situation. Push ourselves. We can do it. We can do that. We are the lights of this world. That's what God calls us. Is that not bright? I mean, the lights of this world? Yeah, that's pretty bright. But we're only going to be shining as lights in this world as we walk in who we are in Christ and we allow God to magnify all of that greatness and that love and that compassion of Christ to one another. Who would not want to hang out with you? Who would not want to hang out with you? Would you not want to hang out with Jesus if he was here? Well, yeah. Well, if we're manifesting who we are in Christ, that draws people to us. And God needs us to understand the importance of our lives. I mean, he gave his only begotten son. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I know some of these things I'm saying we've all heard over and over and over and over. But I have to tell you, there are times when I don't hear it. And I need somebody to say it to me, or I need a hug. I don't need to be reproved necessarily, although reproof is not bad. I just need the love. And that love lives within us. That is a guarantee from God. So like I said in Proverbs chapter 3, God asks us to trust him. God asks us to put him at his word. We need to take time each day with him. We need to let him strengthen us by living in the word of God where he wants us to live. And then we'll see victory after victory, not only in our own lives, but in the people that we minister to and that we really love, that maybe do irritate us, maybe do challenge us. We'll look at it as a challenge from the Lord. You know, you are Christ. You can do this. That's what he tells us, scripture after scripture. So, you know what, God? We really love you, and we really are thankful for your word. And I know sometimes it just doesn't seem like it, even to ourselves. Sometimes we look at our walks and we're like, God, what have I been doing? And we know that that's just the adversary, Father, trying to keep us from doing what you're working within us. So just help us, God, to be stronger. Help us to be more spiritually aware of all the great and wonderful things that are laid before us, and that we have the privilege and the responsibility and the honor, Father, to fight the adversary in our own personal lives and to help each other bear the burdens that we can't bear by ourselves. Just help us to see our lives in this family of God that you have put us in and the beautiful word of God that you've made known to us, to our understanding and to practical application every day with every challenge. And we just go to you, God, because it is your strength of God in Christ in us that gives us the ability to do that. So we love you, Father, and we're so thankful for what you've done and what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us and what he continues to do for us today as he directs us in this body of Christ. So I just pray, Father, in his beautiful name, amen.